One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for telling a friend about us. With me, as always, is Mr. Dave Callens.
Hey.
And Dr. Bobby on the soundboard over here.
No PhD.
Why is he a doctor?
Stolen valor.
I do want to say, nice headset. It looks like Fisher-Price, my first headphones.
Yeah. My magical
adorable.
First producing job.
Nice visual bit on the podcast, Dave.
It's a good pod right there. And we have a guest this week. He is not only a comedian, not only a wrestler, but the owner of Fist Combat Wrestling.
Ooh, yeah.
Mr. Mikey Gordon, a.k.a. Dirty Ron.
And Macho Man, the madness is in the house tonight. Yeah, ooh, yeah.
Thanks for being on the show, man.
Dude, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Now, Fist Combat, as I said before in previous episodes, that's the wrestling promotion I've been doing MC work for, which, as I said, so much fucking fun.
Talk about a match made in heaven.
So we're gonna talk to Mikey a little bit about wrestling and stand-up in a little bit here. A few things I wanted to go over first, though, is I would like to talk to you guys about a man named Joel Osteen.
Never heard of him.
Get the fuck out of here.
Big heel. Big heel.
Big heel in the Christian.
Just did a big heel turn.
So for like the one person that doesn't know, Joel Osteen is like the top dog in for-profit religion shit. He's like, he's the new Tammy Faye Baker, right?
Him,
he's the mega church guy.
White Creflo Dollar.
Yeah, it's a mixture of, like, he promotes religion and, like, tooth crowns. Like, I think those are the two big businesses.
He's like God's Jay-Z,
I think. He's like,
what?
I've always seen him as, like, the mob boss of organized religion. Like, I really feel like if you held, like, a church bake sale, Joel Osteen would show up with some goons and, like, overturn the table. Like,
yeah.
Listen, you fundraising son of a bitch. Nobody.
It shows Mikey
money.
Gordon. Mikey's like, all right. Yeah.
Listen here, brother.
Nobody raises money for Christ in this town unless Joel Osteen gets a taste. And as they're walking off, like one of his goons squashes a lemon bar and goes, clean it up. So anyway, Joel Osteen, if you haven't heard about it, he refused at first to let people, victims of Hurricane Harvey, into his mega church, which this thing's like a fucking super, like the Superdome.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I think it holds like 16,000 people. Yeah,
I think they actually
like
did the last Super Bowl inside of it.
Yeah,
that's true.
And so it could have done a lot of good. And just like remember, this isn't like I don't know, private business or anything where they're under no obligation. This guy is accepts donations in the name of helping people and has made a killing off it.
Right, he's a 501c3, so technically he's a nonprofit. And the whole point of a nonprofit is you don't pay taxes because theoretically you're providing a public good.
Right.
And
this
therefore,
dude is a doctor.
So,
well, the public good is that dope-ass mansion that everyone sees pictures of.
Yeah, right.
It's pretty fucking cool, right?
I just love the pool. anyway, so he refused to let everyone in. And then mass backlash on social media, in the actual media.
Yeah. He said his church was flooded.
Yeah.
And then people showed photos and video like, nope, it's not flooded.
Like, so, but people are defending him. Like, they're saying like, oh, well, this should shut you up. Look, he finally opened up the doors. I'm like, yeah, after the shaming, like, that doesn't impress me. He should have done it in the first place. So that was everyone's point.
The two worst defenses of him that I saw, one was, how do you know it wasn't flooded at the time? That could have been old video or something.
Right.
Unless I see it with my own eyes, I don't believe it.
Aren't you a Christian?
You can't go through life like that. You can't.
Wait a minute. I thought
see it with
faith.
Your own eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway,
totally gets your MO, right?
So one thing I'm psyched about is that the public finally knows what a piece of shit Joel Osteen is and who he is, because I felt for years I was the only one that could see this guy.
Oh, great. Ryan's the hipster of hating Joel Osteen. I was doing it before it was cool.
It's the truth.
I saw Jack White in 98.
So here's my first exposure to Joel Osteen. In 2010, I got dragged to a mega church with on an Easter Sunday with my then-girlfriend's parents.
Yikes.
I know. Because, I mean, when you're first dating someone and their parents say, come to church with us, saying no is not the move.
Whatever they ask.
Yeah, whatever they ask. I'm like, and now, they have not told me it's a fucking mega church at this point. They're like, come to church with us on Easter Sunday. I was raised Irish Catholic, not surprisingly. So I'm like, I'm almost seeing it as a way to, like, kind of impress them. I'm like, shit, I know the moves. I know the Lord's Prayer.
I know when to kneel and when to stand up.
I know what to say during communion.
Routine,
yeah, I got the whole
be with you.
Can't wait to shake hands. Peace be with you all.
When it comes to shake hands, I'm hitting everyone in that section, baby. So anyway, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to show him, like, oh, look at this good, you know, Catholic boy. We get there, and it's this gigantic stucco building. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Where's the priest supposed to touch me?
And you know what? Oh, there's lots of rooms for that. No, but the thing is, I almost prefer like the old stuffy Catholic Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I'm not religious at all, but I can get down with that shit.
At least it's like, okay, that's traditional. That's reverent.
That's commitment
Please
to the bit.
Please piss in my face. Like, they always sound like they're like, they have Stockholm
syndrome.
Really?
Is that
syndrome.
What they always
sound
like?
That's not what I was going to say.
You know,
no,
there's a lot of words. Like, I just know the tone.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, we're not worthy, and all, if you really listen to any Catholic like chanting or whatever they call it, the gist is Jesus is the only good thing ever, and you just existing is offensive to him, and you're not worthy, and you should flog yourself.
It's like old
something.
School punk rock, you know. Yeah. Just...
I shall kneel so you can beat me with a stick. So, anyways, I'm expecting a lot of that. So, but then I don't like it. When anyone tries to make religion hip.
No, it's like Oprah. It's like being on the fucking Oprah show.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's
and
like,
you get a blessing, and you get a blessing.
Yeah, some dude's there like a sparkly Stratocaster lowers, you know. Wow, Jesus. I don't like that. For some reason, that's like extra lame to me.
Yeah.
So I'm walking up to this building, and just hordes of people, hundreds. I'm like, oh, no. But I'm still doing the thing like, all right, just get through it. It's only an hour. And then I see like the times on the billboard. I'm like, this is a 2-hour service?
Oh, shit.
So,
well, there's an intermission. There's costume changes. There's an opening act. It's the whole deal.
So I'm walking.
Sell beer at the
Make sure to stop by the merch booth, by the way.
Merch booth. Yes.
Wouldn't it be great if every church service had to have a different religion as their opening act? So before you could go to mass, you had to go to like Hindu temple?
Somebody write that down. That's the funniest thing Bobby's ever said.
So I've never been to a mega church before then or since, and I was just baffled. I'm like, there's like a fucking Christ cafe here. I'm like, get
supersize the
milk.
Wafers when it's time for
Jesus Frisbee.
Yeah, and like a bookstore and a gift shop, which were separate places. The fuck?
Big gulp of wine.
I would have been way down. So, anyways, I'm like, all right, let's just get through this. At this point, I had never heard or seen of Joel Osteen. I didn't know who he was. But Joel Osteen was there. And he walked out, and he is their celebrity. Everyone went ape shit. Everyone's like, oh, my God!
Right, right.
And like, I'm like, who is this evil Martin Short-looking motherfucker? Why is everyone psyched to see him?
Is
like,
he the one that validates their parking? Is that why he's so excited?
I'm like, wow, this guy is really fucking, you know. So, anyways... He goes in, and like I said, raised Irish Catholic. I know my shit when it comes to the Bible a little bit. He starts doing this sermon that quotes the Bible in a spot, and he bastardized it in a way that made me angry, but also a little bit impressed.
You mean he improved it?
Well, okay, here's what he...
Ryan's like, as a theological scholar, I was really offended. Well, it's like you've never even read Aquinas.
Well, I'm not a theological scholar, but, get this, neither is he! Neither is he! He's got no theological training. Anyways, so as we're sitting there, before Joel Osteen comes out, the offering plate had gone around like a bunch of times. I'm like, I just remember it going around once. Well, Easter maybe twice, but wow. So anyways, he comes up and he starts talking about this passage from the Bible where a woman gave like one gold coin and a rich man gave many. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, look how much I gave. And Jesus reminds him, well, she actually gave more because that's all she has.
Right.
So that was, you know, the whole purpose of that passage is like, it doesn't, you know, money in numbers doesn't matter. He twisted that. It was amazing. He's like, yes. Yeah, so you see, ask yourself, did you give enough today? Let's get those offering plates back out there. I'm like, holy shit.
Bring them back.
The offering plate has a credit card swiper on the side of it.
And dude,
or a chip reader. Quit now.
This obese black man sitting next to me, every time that thing went around, he's like, oh, we're going again. Okay, you got his wallet back out. I'm like, holy shit. He totally twisted that fucking opposite meaning. It was
Ryan's
great.
Throwing his comedy business card in there. I hope somebody takes this.
So anyways, ever since then, oh, and by the way, he closed his sermon with not one, but two plugs for his books. So he had two books for sale for $29.99 in the Christ gift shop on your way out. God. Make sure you get those.
First of all, every good performer has merch. You gotta plug the merch at the end.
I'm like, this guy's got fucking merch. I'm like, I've never seen a pastor with fucking merch before. Amazing. He's got t-shirts. So anyway.
Dolls.
Yeah. He's got, whether you can pull the string and it gives you a Bible verse incorrectly.
Dude, my favorite part of this story that you didn't even mention is like, I'm just picturing, like, you know all the moves, the old school moves. Like, okay, Neil, stand up. Neil, shake hands, whatever. I'm picturing Ryan thinks he knows his shit. But he walks in there knowing the hustle, and they're doing, like, America's Next Dance Crew. Like, they have so much shit going on. And he's like, wait, what the fuck?
I'm like, I'm doing it anyway. Everyone's, like, sitting there, like, testifying. I'm on my knees. Like, fuck it. I'm doing what I know. So anyways, ever since then, I've seen Joel Osteen just everywhere. Like I'll be
in
like,
my backyard.
He's like my Slender Man. I'll look in the mirror and also I'll just see him in the background just poking around.
You didn't donate.
I have a new book.
Credit card information. Yeah, so I'm glad that this asshole was finally exposed because I left that fucking mega church unable to complain to anyone because they're like, who the fuck is Joel Osteen? Again, this was 2010. Since then, he's written 8 more books.
Oh, God. A year.
Yeah.
So he's one of those ones where if he turned out to be a Jared from Subway, nobody would really blink an eye. We'd all kind of be like, oh, that fits.
We're just waiting for what it is.
Oh, we're just now finding out.
Jared thing.
Yeah. So there's that. Also, kind of a weird thing happened. There was a guy that I'd never met in person. He's a friend of mine on Facebook. He's kind of a troll. Imagine that. He's one of these guys that like he's always there with a shitty comment that he thinks is funny. And I found out yesterday he died. Like, it was like sudden, like groups. He's like, hey, did you know that guy died? I'm like, no, oh, shit. I'm like,
Shores immediately goes and starts trolling on the dude's Facebook page.
Groups calls him, do you know that guy died? Shores is cleaning off a knife. What guy?
He didn't ask how it happened. So, anyways, I go to his Facebook. Sure enough, you know, it's remembering Nick so-and-so. I'm like, huh. Now, here's where it gets a little awkward and weird. Like I said, this guy was just a notorious troll, you know? Right. He prided himself on it. And so everyone on his page was like trying to think of something nice to say and like couldn't. It was like, awkward. Every single post, there was like one person that was like genuinely upset. I think it was like his sister. But like everyone else, literally all their things started out with, well, he was an asshole, but, you know, he could be really funny sometimes. You know,
man, did he have nice shoes. That guy, he had a great shoe game.
Yeah, just everyone
he
said
that.
He was good
at Facebooking.
Yeah.
Boy, was he.
Yeah, he sure loved Doritos and very rarely dropped the N-bomb, except for, well, never mind.
There's a post that's like, please leave your condolences in gift form only.
Yeah, you know, it's just like, no one say anything to me. So, like, I was thinking about, I'm like, wow, this is what happened when internet trolls die. I've never seen it before because internet trolling is such a new thing in society. So I'm like, well, I do you think, this is a question I want to ask to you guys, do you think if those people that, again, pride themselves on like, Amy Schumer has me blocked on Twitter, I'm the man. Yeah. You think if those guys could see their Twitter page after or their Facebook page after they die and see everyone being like, I don't really, sorry, he'll be missed by immediate family members.
Well, here's the thing. The whole thing about a troll is they want to get the negative attention, right?
Right.
So
right.
When they saw that, they'd probably be like, fuck, yes. I didn't troll hard enough.
Right.
Like, I didn't get anyone going, fuck this guy, I'm glad he's
Yeah, no,
dead.
Exactly. That's exactly what would happen, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Super disappointed in the outpouring of half-wit support.
Yeah, they'd be mad that people like them and did shit all over them. Yeah.
He's like, shut up, sister.
Because really, the ultimate would be you want to be Martin Scorsese going on trial, right? You want to have people just like loving it. Oh, I'm so happy he's miserable.
So glad he's dead. What a fucking piece of shit.
The thing is, he couldn't even
wipe his ass.
So yeah, like it was a weird thing to me. I'm certainly not happy the guy's gone. I'm like, oh, that's a bummer. But I just imagined. I'm like, God. Someone lived their whole life and no one can say something nice about them. Anyway, so there was that. Also, another thing I saw on Facebook that same day, saw some guy put up a flyer labeling himself the bad boy of stand-up comedy.
Saw that flyer.
You saw that flyer?
Yeah, weird to say the least.
I have seen this so many times. I know you have too.
Is it Puff Daddy?
No, it's not.
Not.
But that's another thing. The bad boy of comedy, the bad boy of rap, the bad boy of MMA. This is not golf or skiing where it's easy to be the bad boy. Comics, they're genuinely selfish alcoholics.
Yes.
that use drugs and fuck around on people that trust them and skip out on their bar tab, they're bad people.
Yes. Yeah, I always want to say, like, if you see like the bad boy of comedy, you're like, you got to beat Cat Williams. Like, what do you? How many windows have you broken and Target cashiers have you slapped?
As compared to what?
Let's see your resume. Yeah. See that shit.
Yeah. What sets you apart from all these shitty people? Yeah. I want to know what it is. Like, it's the point in comedy where if you're not the bad boy of comedy, that's what you market. Like, clean comedy. Yeah. Clean comedy. I never use the F word. I can do it.
Yeah, first of all, you can't call yourself the bad boy of whatever.
No.
That's just ridiculous. Ever. No. You're immediately, you're not legit. That's,
no. Right. Yeah. That's,
but saying, like you're saying, to be the bad boy, your merch would have to be like a punch in the face.
Right.
Like at the end of the show, someone gives you $5,
Joel
you sock
them. Book.
And $40 for the Joel Osteen.
Yeah, that's right. You start marking up Joel Osteen's merch, you're the bad boy of comedy.
Also, what does he think he's doing? Like, do you think there's some person looking at a comedy flyer, I don't know, should we go see comedy? Well, this guy's a bad boy. He must be hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, dude, all the fucking nicknames. I know I've said it before, but, like, are fucking open micers, like, required to have a shitty nickname now?
Now they are, yeah. We actually make them draw one out of a hat.
They gotta misuse one of the vowels, like different vowel, like I instead of Y.
Yeah.
I feel like back in the day, like necessarily you don't give yourself your own nickname. So the reason you choose to like make somebody that gave you a nickname your nickname is because like Howard Stern called me the bad boy of comedy. Okay, right. So now I'm the bad boy of comedy because fucking Howard Stern said
right,
it.
Right.
And probably your nickname's not going to be super complimentary. I mean, that's right. How nicknames work. Like it's that scene in Animal House when he's handing out nicknames and you're Flounder. He's like, why Flounder? Why not? Like,
that's the thing. Like back in when I was fighting, one of my nicknames was Bloody Knuckles. Like, that's cool. I'm like, it's not. They're making fun of me because when I was new, I worked a heavy bag with no gloves on and broke both my hands. And everyone, that's their way of making fun of me for it. It's not a good thing. It's not like, the badass.
Yeah, totally. Right. By the way, Bobby, you should start marketing our podcast as the Bad Boy Podcast.
Ooh.
Maybe we'll get some more listeners.
Yeah, people that give themselves these especially people, this harkens back to Mikey's comment, people that express their own opinions of themselves in their bio, people know you wrote your own bio, man.
Oh, yeah.
So when people, he's like, arguably one of the most influential comics in Southern California. I'm like, you wrote that about yourself, and we all know it.
I feel like I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's you arguing
and it's cracking
with your
me
mom.
Up right now.
But,
there was actually a comic that changed their bio because we made fun of it so much.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah.
Guys noticed that when I did that.
So you've actually, we've created change in this world for the positive.
Shit, yeah.
We are bad boys. How about that?
He took out that phrase, but like the rest of it was still super up his own ass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I do find it funny when comedians think that they're like superheroes or rappers and they give themselves like those weird, not just like the bad boy of comedy. They're like, my name's going to be Shakira. Like they're going to give themselves a single one-line name as if they're professional wrestlers.
Well,
the ones I don't like is
want to be professional wrestlers.
Yeah, for sure. There's a crossover.
They're also failed musicians.
But the one that drives me the most nuts is when it's a super general nickname, like the funny guy or the super great comedian. Like those are like, I'm like, what the fuck are you saying?
Well, just to give you an idea of how delusional some people are, I put out a prompt before this episode asking a few of my comedy club booker friends to send me some of their most weird booking requests and emails they've gotten from maybe comedians, but more than likely just people that think they're comedians.
Yeah.
So I have a few of them right here.
Oh, shit, yeah.
This one comes to us from our friend Paige. She asked me not to specify the club, but in L.A., it's one of the big four. So this is a legit spot. Hi, club. I don't have anyone's contact info at the club, so I'm trying to reach out here. This is comedian. I'm going to edit his name out. I'm doing a spot at your club. Let's just call him that hilarious comedian. I'm doing a spot at your club Sunday at the Burbank location. I need two things. First, I need my name on the marquee as this. I'm not listed on your website either. My fans have no clue what time and show I'm on.
What kind of spot is this?
Let him finish. We'll take this apart.
Yeah. Please fix, all caps, now.
What?
Don't misspell my name either. Second, how much am I getting paid? Do I get a cut of the door and more if I bonus? Thanks.
Wait, is this a headliner? What is this?
I want to start with, hey, I'm booked on a show at your club, but I don't have anyone's contact information.
Yeah.
The story
kind of
falls apart right off
there.
The bat.
Does he not? Is he not going to think someone's be like, "Well, who booked you? The ticket's up."
So is
they
this
got me.
Is this somebody who actually has a spot?
He
a
was not booked. He was not booked.
Okay.
He thought this email would be like, "Oh fuck, I didn't realize we had this guy booked. Put his name on the marquee immediately."
Yeah, yeah.
Oh shit.
Well,
wow.
I mean, so he wasn't booked. Okay.
No, he was not booked.
Just, like, booked
and by the way,
showcase.
And yeah. by the way, that Sunday is a bringer showcase.
Of course,
yeah.
Right?
So I mean, even if he was booked, put my name on the marquee right
that
now.
That also that could have been an open micer. Like somebody
yeah.
just signed up for open mics. Like, whoa, wait, I'm performing this night.
Yeah.
Set this shit up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that could have been one of the open micers. Yeah.
I'm so interested. Now I want to find this person's Facebook page. I want to see how many quote unquote fans are that we're missing
Although,
out on this show.
We don't want to make too much fun of him because, legit, that's how George Carlin got to start. Sent a random email like that to a club and boom,
yeah.
he was famous.
Yeah.
Dude. Just overnight.
He probably read a book saying that.
I sent an email to WWE with three sentences and I got booked for, swear to God, with a
It
picture.
Said, please fix now.
It says, if you want Vince McMahon back.
No. No, but my favorite part of it is like not only is he trying to run the scam, but he's like being a dick about it.
Yeah.
Like, don't misspell my
demanding.
Name either.
See, that's where I thought maybe he was just a delusional guy that got booked for a bringer showcase.
Right.
And he's like, I'm on the show, fucking what's up? But this guy's like, hey, I'm not booked. Watch this shit.
Yeah, I feel like he is basically kind of like the pickup artist we were talking about last week. He's
yeah.
going with that attitude of like,
hey,
if
man.
I just fake
he's
it.
He's nagging the club
yeah.
and hoping that's whoa, whoa, shit. Sorry, we'll fix that right away.
Okay, next one. This one comes from our buddy Raul, who books here at the Madhouse. Now, this one, this same guy, he sent three emails.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to read you all three in a row. Keep in mind, these are all different emails, okay?
Like email addresses or email like
no, just
total
three email different emails.
Three separate emails. All right, let him finish all three, and then we'll jump on.
All right, okay. I was going to say his name because he's very proud of his name.
Hey, don't give this guy free publicity.
Well, it's part of it. It's actually part of it. His name is Ted Cannabis.
I'm going to guess he does clean stuff?
Yeah, a lot of children's parties.
Yeah.
So he says, hey, did you guys get my email last night? I'm the guy with a very funny story about my name. My name is Theodore Henry Cannabis. My initials are THC. I got recruited to play football at Humboldt State University. The only touchdown I scored in college made the final score 420. I can also recite the first scene of Full Metal Jacket. I get good response when I do it for crowds. Thanks, Ted Cannabis. That was email number one. Now, email number two.
I have so much to say right now. How much time passed between these two?
Let's see. This one, the first one says
20 minutes.
Or doesn't that matter?
This first one says today. The second one says yesterday. So
okay.
One day.
All right.
Because these are screenshots to me. All right. This is the second one that's sent a day later. It just starts out. I've wanted to try stand up since the first time I saw Eddie Murphy's Delirious when I was 8 years old. To tell you a little about me, my name is Cannabis. My initials are THC. I got recruited to play football at Humboldt State University, and the only touchdown I scored in college was the last play of the game, and it made the final score 42-0. True story. And no, I do not smoke weed. That's what makes it unique.
And less explainable. Like, this whole thing would have been more explained if he was super baked.
I have some stories to tell. Please give me a chance. Thanks, Ted.
Like he has a story to tell.
Just told
repeatedly.
It.
Yeah.
Third one says today. So this is an hour later. This is an hour later.
Nice.
This is my third attempt. I'm going to come tonight. Like, oh, my God.
This is how shooting starts.
This is like an urban legend. Get out. He's in the club. The call's coming from inside the club.
It's just one person in front of the mirror in the bathroom. Cannabis, cannabis, cannabis.
All right, so this is my third attempt. I'm going to come tonight. My name is Theodore Henry Cannabis. My initials are THC. I was recruited to play football at Humboldt State University, and my only touchdown made the final score 42-0. I can recite the first scene of Full Metal Jacket and more. Thanks, Ted Cannabis.
I remember that name.
Yes.
Because he signed up for the contest we run here every year. But also, now that you said that, I remember seeing him perform. And that first email, that was literally his set. Literally, he's on stage, says his name, says his initials, says he was recruited to play football, the score, everything, and then he does the scene from Full Metal. He basically just emailed Raul his set.
So he has a head injury, yes? Is there a big piece missing?
He needs a smoke.
Let me put up this idea. If we can get him back into the club, and then we can just put it so one of us goes before him, we stand up, and our first set is, my name is Theodore Henry Kim. And then just watch him stand up there when he gets up. What's he going to do, retell it?
You got to do it a little bit different to make him look like a hack. He'll still go. You got to like, my name is Terry Harold Cannabis. I was recruited. Just change little details.
At Santa Cruz. Yeah, we'll tag it up a little bit.
I was recruited for the California University of Humboldt.
The final score was 4-20. I can recruit the
two safeties. How did that happen?
I can recite the first scene from Platoon.
By the way, the first one that we did was from Paige Wesley, who we've had on this show before. If you get a chance, go ahead and check out her new podcast, Cult Podcast. She actually does like an in-depth, almost like Last Podcast on the Left for different cults. I've heard the first like six that she's put out. They're actually really, really good. So.
All right, this next one, I think this was posted in actually one of the comic groups, but this is great. It just starts out. The subject line is open mic.
Yeah.
I'm the gangsta of comedy. Yep, there we got another.
With
the gangsta of comedy. This will be my first time on stage as a comedian. I'm the Dave Chappelle of women.
Shit.
Whoa,
what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Can you actually start again?
Yeah, I'm
confused now.
Okay, yeah. There's no hello. There's no dearest madhouse. There's just, I'm the gangsta of comedy. This will be the first time on stage as comedian. That's how it's written.
All
right. I'm the Dave Chappelle of women. I'm going to take over the game. Put me on the mic just one time and watch how a gangsta do it. Sincerely, okay, so the comedy gangsta.
That's the female.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's where I was confused.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I thought when you started with gangsta, I was like, okay, this is some big dude, right?
Right, totally. That's what
and
I thought,
it was
too.
The Dave Chappelle of women.
Right?
I'm like, what, does this dude tell jokes like Dave Chappelle to women and picks them up? Like, how are you the Dave? Okay, wait. You're a woman. All right, I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense because what she means to say is I'm...
And it's you reading it, right?
Right,
so
right,
it's like,
right.
It's like, all right.
She means to say I'm the female version of Dave Chappelle. Claiming you're the Dave Chappelle of women just means like... You started being a woman
really
young.
Buff now? Yeah.
You're bald, you smoke. Okay. Okay, cool. So you're like my aunt. All right. So this one, this just is one sentence. From someone, I confirmed it with the guy who sent this to me. He's never heard of him before, doesn't know him. It comes from a guy named Adam. No subject, one sentence. I'm ready when you want me to perform real stand-up. No contact information.
I'm ready.
So that was good. Anyway, last one here. I think we have time for two.
Be great if the response to that was, sorry, we don't do the real stuff. Just if you could come with some like distilled.
We're the WWE yeah. of comedy over here. Chill out.
There's one I remember getting at Madhouse that we got from a kid. I think it was from Canada. We get them all the time. People like, hey, I'm in San Diego. I want to get on a show. But this guy, he said in his message, he's like, hey, I'll be in town. I'm a new comic. I've done 3 sets now, so I'm ready to do a show. Please let me know what you have available. Just like the way that he said, I've done 3 sets now, as if you're like collecting stage time, and it's just...
If you can count, you're not ready.
I know. That was my first thought. It's like, 3, really?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, I had Zoltan and Dewey Bratcher showing up tonight, but we can bump them if we got 3 sets under his belt.
I love that, too, because it's like, you did 1 night of open mics? Like, 3 sets?
Yeah, yeah. Just the fact that he quantified. I've done 3 sets now. I've been doing it for a month. I'm doing it for a week. I've been doing it for years. Like, I've done 3 sets.
Now, this one, it's not something that a club, it's a response to a booking request. It comes from our good buddy Dan Bublitz when he tried to book Doug Stanhope to be on his Snow Jam Festival in South Dakota.
I remember this.
So this is a little different, he sent them the offer and the money he was going to pay him for it. And Doug Stanhope's response was, everyone has what they consider their own level of success. Mine is never having to be in South Dakota in the winter again. Appreciate the offer, Stanhope.
That's amazing. I love it.
No doubt.
That is a good measurement of success, though.
No, speaking of bookers, I made a huge mistake. Not huge, but regrettable. I got booked to be on a show by my friend Colin.
We all did, actually. We got booked.
Yeah, yeah. It was a Degenerate show.
So,
which was really fun, by the way. It was a good time. And as Dave pointed out, slightly higher than average turnout.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I worked out a deal with the money-wise. And when I have Dave and Bobby on with me, I usually pay them out of what I'm getting paid. So after the show, I pay them out of my own pocket. I'm like, all right, I'll just go find him. And he wasn't around. I'm like, where is he? He's like, he left. I'm like, motherfucker. I'm like, Dave, send him a message. And so he's like, do you owe Shores money? He just goes, no. I'm like, motherfucker, I've been stiffed. So anyways, I know you guys know this. Mikey, you don't. Some of our listeners don't. I used to be a debt collector when I was 20 for a loan shark. So there's levels that you go about getting your money. First one is a very nice email explaining or a phone call that you're sure this is a mistake that they'll make right.
But also, that's like reflexive for you at this point. Like if one of us got stiffed, we'd be like, oh, shit, what do we do? You just snap right in.
Yeah,
like,
I go okay, right
into step one.
Yeah, step one, a courteous but stern, in a 48-hour period.
Dave, speak for yourself. I go right for the blow dart gun. I already know what I'm gonna do,
and he's like, he responds like, they should have a check with they should have a check for you. I was in the club. The staff was like, we don't know what the fuck he's talking about. There's no check here for you. So I'm sure at this point I'm being stiffed. I'm like, don't let me get to step four, because that's why they call the deck letter a thumb breaker. So don't let it get to step four. So anyway, I think I kind of scared him a little bit, but then all of a sudden the owner of the club fucking messaged me like, hey, I was supposed to leave a check for you. It's not Colin's fault. Sorry about that. I'm like, holy fuck, I scared a guy for no fucking reason. I'm like, what if you didn't email me? I would have gotten a step forward with this guy. So then I felt horrible. I'm like, oh, man. And like, the guy was completely telling the truth, and here I am, like, slightly threatening him.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I feel terrible.
Oh, man, so good.
Can't take checks, man. The checks. I've had a comedy club bounce a check on me.
Oh, yeah. I
mean, oh, for sure.
That happens.
Because they always know, they're like, you're going to the next town the next day. We're going to come back and go to, you know, small claims court for $500 or whatever.
Right. But
which is a dumb thought, bullshit, too, because if you get the right comedian, they're like, no, I won't, but I will cause $4,000 worth of damage to the outside of this club.
Yeah. Using only this blowgun.
Yeah. Mike, you said that's what you did?
At the St. Louis Funny Bone, man. I was there last June, fucking 120 people on a Monday night.
Nice.
It was supposed to be a free show,
right,
so I could get my friends and family from St. Louis to put in on the tip jar, right?
Right.
Of course. So, but then 2 days before the show, the Funny Bone put a thing out on Twitter like, we've changed our structure. We're charging $5 for Monday shows, which is very clearly just for my show.
Yeah.
They were doing that. Like, well, by the way.
Next Monday, they'll change it back.
Coincidence, right? Oh, we changed it back this week.
Well, that didn't work.
So we find all this out when we get to the club or whatever, and at the end of the thing, not only did they give me my $300 check minus the five drinks that I got that night.
Wow, that's a dick move.
And then they're like, oh, we can't give you cash. I'm like, you guys collected over $500 cash at the door tonight. Give me cash. Like, oh, we do this by check. So I was like, well, I don't take checks, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, oh, you guys are a bunch of assholes. I'm like, all right, well, fine. This is how you guys do business. This is how I do business. And I fucking destroyed a bunch of glasses on the thing, walked out, got arrested, and now I can go back to St. Louis. But right
that's
when the cops
hilarious.
Pulled up, I'm like, here's the fucking bullshit check they wrote me. Fuck them. I'm like, I destroyed a bunch of glasses in there. Like, this should cover it. Here's their check. Fuck them. Yeah. So Funny Bone in St.
Awesome.
Louis, watch out.
No, I had a guy in Arizona basically say that to me. He said, what are you gonna do? Like, he only shorted me by like $50, but it was $150 I was getting paid, so it's
right.
One third of
man.
My fucking.
As Jesus says, it's not how much he shorts you.
Yeah. So the guy said, so like, are you gonna come back to Arizona from San Diego and take me to court for $50? I'm like, no, but I'm gonna badmouth you on Twitter. But Mike, I wanna know a little bit more about you though. So okay. Now, what came first, comedy or wrestling?
Wrestling, definitely.
Okay.
Lifelong wrestling fan.
Right.
My mom did a couple like independent wrestling shows back in the day.
Really?
Your mom was a wrestler?
Yeah, my mom
really?
Was a Sue Savage.
Please tell me
Sue
the Fabulous
Savage.
Moolah.
Sue Savage. Yeah, she probably, I don't know. She might have got pimped out by the Fabulous Moolah. I don't know. My mom always liked to tell me, like, I just hung around the wrestlers, like, to hang around. I was like, all right, mom, so I know what's up, right? She's like, no, it wasn't like that. I'm like, right, okay, yeah. Okay.
Now, when did you make the leap and start wrestling yourself? Were you a wrestler in high school, by the way?
I wrestled 2 years in high school.
Okay.
And realized that totally not like the shit I saw on TV.
Right.
He wasn't on the wrestling team. He would just wrestle random kids in the hall.
He would run out in a cape and a Vader mask and body slam into somebody.
I actually thought I was like, when I'm an amateur wrestler, I'm going to come out at the end of the year when I'm undefeated, right? When I'm undefeated,
yeah.
Like Goldberg. with a fucking theme song and shit. I was like, this is what I'm going to do. When I got my ass whooped every fucking match. Like, just destroyed. Like, but I wrestled 145, and everybody I was wrestling was, you know, cut down to 145.
So you did a natural weight.
Yeah.
All right, so they were much bigger than you then.
Much bigger. I cut down maybe 5 pounds. These guys are cutting 20, right. 25,
well, plus you were in the Midwest. You were in St. Louis?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can't wrestle in the Midwest if you're not serious about it. That's right. Like going to play soccer professionally in Brazil. Right. You need to know what the fuck you're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. 1,000,000%.
Now, when did you make the leap when you started becoming a professional wrestler?
So, like, I was backyard wrestling, like everybody in the late 90s, and I just found a local promotion that was like, hey, you know, we need little kids to beat up, so come on down and do it. So when I was 16, I went down there and started doing it.
Now, did they teach you like the? Because I know that these days you gotta take a class if you're gonna be in it, right?
It's not even just take a class. Like you have to get. It's like anointed in. It's almost like a. Like a closer knit group than like getting a college degree or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, in order to be a doctor, you have to have, you know, a PhD, whatever.
Bobby, is that true?
Right, Dr.
No,
Bobby?
You actually have to get an MD. It's much easier.
Whatever it is. I don't know. I don't have any fucking degrees. But I do have a degree in wrestling, though, because, you know, like you have to get trained. You have to properly do it. And then you have to get like approval from somebody who has already gotten approval. It's kind of like the mob almost.
Okay.
Dude, you know, I remember a story from way back when Hulk Hogan was first on. When it was Terry Bollea, and he thought he was a badass, and he walked into a gym thinking he was going to be a wrestler, and they fucked him so bad he broke both of his ankles just because like he was that arrogant. Like, nah, that's not how it works. You gotta be respectful and you gotta fucking earn your place.
Respect. I mean, basically, I've so many times over the 17 years that I've been a professional wrestler, I've met somebody. 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, we're out there having a match. I've never met the guy.
Right.
So you have to know what the fuck you're doing. You know? And you got to trust the guy. Too,
right,
you know?
Right. And you know, it's not only just not doing the moves on someone because, you know, obviously that's unsafe. People won't do moves to you. Like, you know, because when I first started working for you for this promotion, I was talking to the guys. I'm like, hey, if you want to do a thing where you like throw me down or something, and they're like, hell no.
Right.
You don't know how to fall.
Right.
This guy just asked me to do a move on him. I'm like, I'm like, sorry, I didn't know this faux pas.
It is too, because you know, like,
it's like when a fan after show is like, hey, you can use this in your skit.
Oh,
and they
give you,
and they're like, fuck off.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it is. It's pretty much exactly it.
One guy at the last show didn't agree to do anything, but he gave me a face palm. I was so honored that he actually did something with me.
And here's the thing about that too, I don't even think I told you more than like a minute before that happened, but he looked at me right before you went in. He's like, no, he'd tell me to come do it because he didn't know that you would do it the right way.
Right.
But I did. I knew, you know, I knew you got it.
Yeah.
So and I'm glad it turned out the way that it did. Turned out real good.
Cool.
Turned out real good. It was dope.
Yeah, but afterwards he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. I'm like, no, thank you for let me be a part of it. It was so much fun. Yeah.
Just the listeners might not know, we've mentioned before, but just to reiterate, like the type of wrestling that you do is so fucking hardcore. Like the first time I saw videos of your show, there's like thumbtack matches.
Yeah.
You guys staple shit to your head.
Yeah.
It's like, it is so legit.
Now,
is there like a general rule, like you can only use certain gauge staples?
No.
Do you have to? No.
Some guy tried telling me that the chairs are fake. I'm like, I've never fucking seen a fake chair.
A fake chair? What's it mean, the balloons?
Fake thumbtacks. Like fake thumbtacks.
Now, like, are there rules? Like, can I bring in a compressed staple gun, or can it only be spring loaded? Like, where are our rules?
That'll fuck you up.
Now, Mike, you did a thumbtack match this last match.
Yep.
And you got body slammed shirtless onto what was it, 1,000 thumbtacks?
Let's see. I spent $20, 300 piece, like 6,000 thumbtacks.
Oh, wow. All right. So, and afterwards, I was helping pull these things out of your back.
Yeah.
It's gnarly. Now,
I think I got some of my shoes still.
Oh, you do?
Now, are you worried that, like, one's going to, like, just hit you in the wrong spot in the spine or something like that?
Does he seem worried about that?
A thumbtack's only so big anyway.
Right.
And you would have to land on it perfectly for it to even go straight into you.
Right.
So it almost never happens like that.
Yeah, I was surprised. There was all these thumbtacks, 6,000 you said, and I think only like 4 or 6 of them got into your back afterwards.
The ones that stick, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they'll fall out because only like a little tiny bit will get in there and then it'll fall, you know, like, so it's. I mean, everything with wrestling is a show.
Yeah,
you know, like,
well,
you're not,
of course, yeah.
You're not really trying to go out there and smash a cinder block on somebody's dick. There's a gimmick to it.
Yeah. So now,
my new comedy name, Cinder Dick.
send a booking and tell them you're the gangsta of comedy. Oh, no, of women or something. I don't know. So anyways, Did you take some like psyching up before the first time you got slammed into somebody?
How much whiskey and or cocaine does it take to get in the zone?
I did coke one time before a match. It was the biggest fucking mistake of my fucking life.
Really?
It was the biggest mistake of my life. Because like my character, like I'm so pumped up when I go out there anyway, you know, and I give it 150% every time I'm out there. So like when I'm cutting a promo beforehand, I just get so amped up, and then you're out there in front of everybody, your adrenaline's pumping, and cocaine is the worst thing. Yeah. Smoking weed, not a bad idea, but yeah.
Okay, all right. Now, the staples, though.
Yeah.
Is there a trick to those?
There's no gimmick. Like there's no gimmick to the staples, just besides their staples.
Well, it's like are there only certain spots that you should do it to, or I mean,
not
you
know, the eyeball. That's the only rule.
Yeah. You know, most of the time, yeah, you're
more of a guideline.
You're hitting meaty parts anywhere that you're doing it. You know, an arm or on the forehead, or you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Forehead is not meaty. I'm just gonna say that real quick.
It's a big open spot, a big open area. I don't know.
Have you had an experience where you've brought like a girlfriend or something to one of these things, and they've had to watch you, and then it like essentially traumatizes them?
Well, your girlfriend helps you run it.
She does. She does this one, and
maybe like a different girl beforehand.
No. Beforehand, like guys that bring girls to wrestling shows, you really gotta be very confident in your relationship,
right?
Because that's like bringing fucking, you know, bloody meat to a shark infested waters, bro. It's like
I've heard those guys. There's not a strong moral code.
There's not. But there's respect. You know, there's respect. So like, I don't. First of all, I trust my girlfriend. You know, and I don't think that any of the guys that I'm around would even try to do anything like that. However, it happens all the time.
Yeah. But I mean more along the lines of like,
lost his wife to a wrestler.
Yeah. I'm thinking more along the lines of like, man, it was so hard for me to watch you get a bunch of thumbtacks shoved in your face. Like, that was
difficult. They kind of know going into it, you know, that I'm kind of a crazy fuck.
Yeah, I can't imagine he wouldn't prep them for that. Like, but where are we going, honey? You'll see.
But how do you prep, like, hey, you want to go on a date? Sure. What, do you want to walk through the park? No. How about you watch somebody take a staple gun to my neck for a little bit?
It's fun, too. It's a show.
Now, yeah. How would you compare, just as far as the behind-the-scenes, wrestling to comedy? Because
there's a lot of similarities.
I've noticed that.
There's a lot of similarities because, like, when you set up, for instance, when you're setting up a comedy set, right, you got to take this little joke, set it up as a bit, and then that bit turns into your set, right?
Right.
So it's pretty much kind of the same way with a wrestling match, you know, like, you know, you're going to start off with your opening sequence. It's going to build until your final sequence. But you got to put it all in order. And if it doesn't go in order the right way, it's just not going to fit and make sense the right way.
Yeah.
Another thing, like with the territories too, or like, you know, booking wise, you know, like if you're good in this territory, you're in with these set of bookers, you know, like the territory wise, it's a lot of similarities with comedy.
Now, on the first show I did with you, you had actually kind of a name guy on there. He had a part in that show, Glow, and I think I recognized him from Total Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, Joey Ryan,
yeah. Right. So now, do bigger name guys sometimes hit you up, or do you have to contact them?
You know, wrestling is a real tight-knit group, so like I pretty much know all of them, or I could, if I don't have somebody's direct contact number, I can get it. Me as a promoter, I'll almost never fly anybody in because I'm a cheap fuck.
Right.
But there's a plethora of great wrestlers all around here, you know, that live up in L.A.
Right.
Not so many that live down here in San Diego.
Now,
but
guys that have, you know, everyone knows there's a lot of guys that were big stars in the 90s and in the early 2000s that no longer are very big stars.
Right.
And do those guys have, like, will their ego get in the way of doing a smaller promotion like yours?
Not at all. And, well, you know, in this day and age right now, more than any other time in professional wrestling history, there are more wrestlers out there making a living because you got all these pop-up independent promotions.
Yeah.
You know, like mine. I mean, I'm not spending nearly what some other independent promotions are, but there's a huge market for wrestling. So those guys, they love that they're able to make a living still. You know, wrestlers that should not have been wrestling for the last 5, 10, 15 years are still able to go out most weekends and make a payday, a flight, hotel, and kill it on merchandise.
What would you say the biggest, maybe former star you've ever booked was?
I've booked Rob Van Dam for comedy shows, and I've booked Sabu for wrestling shows, and those are my
Sabu,
fucking
nice.
Nice.
I can't tell this story now, but let's just say it's not Sabu, but maybe it is. I don't know. I've paid wrestlers in drugs before, man. The drug scene.
I kind of assumed that.
Yeah.
I
mean, that's just, so it is like comedy.
Yeah. Like,
I was
going to
be like,
totally
wait,
like
some
that.
Ask for money?
Yeah. So wait, just talking about booking real quick. Do you get weird messages like we were talking about earlier? But
has
someone ever hit you up like, hey, I've done 3 body slams. I'm ready for a show.
Well, and that's kind of what's up too, you know, is that like there's a real easy way. Oh, so here's one of the things between comedy and wrestling. With comedy, any dickhead that tells a joke one time at an open mic can call himself a comedian. And I agree with
that. And they do.
And I agree with that only because, like, where's the line, right? But in wrestling, you have to be trained. You know, like, if you come to me and you're like, hey, blah, 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 can I get a spot? I'm like, well, who trained you? And then when you tell me so-and-so, I'm going to be like, well, you're either lying or then I check with them, you know? And here's the thing is that, like, there's not that many reputable schools. So if you were like, I live in Southern California, like, where did you train? I trained at Santino's. Well, no, you fucking didn't. Like, that's the reputable
school. I trained with Owen Hart. Boom, you can't check on that one.
Oh, too soon.
Shit.
Also, you may want to book me because liability risk.
I'm the gangster of wrestling.
Now, what made you take the leap to stand up?
Fuck.
How I met you, actually. I met you as a comic.
Well,
I didn't know you were a wrestler until after.
So I've been doing stand-up comedy for like 4 years. I booked myself in an independent little tour I put together called the Cottonmouth Comedy Tour. We did 14 states last year, like all booked through like dispensaries and head shops and all shit like that. But comedy, I just saw it as like a natural progression to feed my ego, to have that one-on-one interaction with people to where whatever you do is directly affected to them, and then how they react, you have to react differently.
And what do you find more rewarding?
Professional wrestling.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
Okay.
All right, I got a question. It seems odd to me that you would take the step to comedy to feed your ego, because it doesn't always work that way.
But away from me.
Do you ever bomb in wrestling? Because I can't imagine that would happen.
It's hard because in comedy is different from wrestling and music and that. Because like in wrestling, you know when to clap, right?
Yeah.
And when music, song's over, yay, right? In comedy, you don't. So like that's.
But that's what I'm saying. Is like I can't imagine. See, to me, I would feel like you'd go from wrestling to comedy, be like, hey, I need to keep my ego in check. So let me step over here and get shit on a little bit.
And I didn't know that going in, you know, because, like, when you don't know shit about comedy and you're like, I want to be a comedian.
Right, right.
You know, but then I also recognized very quickly, the grind that it's going to take. My goal was never to get a good 5-minute set. My goal was never to make friends at open mics. My goal was always to, like, eventually be able to do a 30-minute set. That was always my goal.
I have one last question. We're almost out of time here. Is that this last match that I was emceeing for you, there was a
Which, by the way, you were made for that shit.
Oh, thanks, man.
You were made for that shit.
I appreciate
made
that.
Made for it.
There was a drunk audience member. He seemed to be having a good time.
He was.
But he was trying to grab the wrestlers. He was getting out of hand. He was trying to get in the ring at one point. Is that usual?
That was actually a plant. That's a character they're going to introduce later on.
I had the same reaction he did when you talked about the drugs, when you're like, there was a drunk audience member. I was like, there were sober audience members.
Well, this guy was far gone, like to the point where I had to grab him, like, do not touch the fucking wrestlers again. And his eyes were just swimming at me. He didn't process a thing about that.
We set ourselves up for that shit because we don't have guardrails. Most of our audience is standing. It's 21 and up.
Yeah.
We encourage everybody to be drunk, and mostly they are. Mm-hmm. So we kind of like ask for it in that sense. But most traditional wrestling shows are for like family-friendly audiences, a fundraiser for this T-ball team or whatever the fuck. So you're doing them in gymnasiums where there's seats on all 4 sides.
For the family shows, instead of thumbtacks, they body slam out of paper clips.
Legos, an army man.
That's worse.
Not usually people aren't getting involved. They're smarter than that.
Gotcha. So can you tell everyone where they can catch the next Fist Combat Wrestling show?
Absolutely. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at Fist Combat TV, FISTCOMBATTV. And I'm on Dirty Ron McDonald on Instagram and Twitter.
All right. Mikey, thank you so much for being on the show, bud.
Awesome, man. Fuck yeah.
All right. I'm Ryan for Mikey Gordon, Dave Callens, and Robert Timothy saying, see you next week, Cruising with the Twos.
Yeah.
He's pissing my face.
Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Oh, that time passing by. Ooh.
motherfucking time is passing by.
Where's the priest supposed to touch me?